Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church. So we started a brand new series called For Argument's Sake, and we talked about how there's an overload of information going on in this world. You know, today with the internet, with the news and everything, there's so much being thrown at us. There's so much information that we're taking in today. And with that comes a growing number of arguments that we have, a growing number of debates that we have. And so with that, we see a lot of different things transpire in our relationships and between people on social media and in the news. And so one great example that we've all been talking about this last week is this headline that I'm going to read to you. This is what the headline that read last Friday. It said, Native American elder and Vietnam veteran, 64, mocked by smug MAGA hat wearing Catholic high school students chanting, build that wall, says he was left shaken and overwhelmed. So the article says that Nathan Phillips, 64-year-old Vietnam veteran, was at the March for Life, and he was surrounded by these students from Park Hill, Kentucky High School. It was a Catholic high school. They were surrounding this man, and they began to chant, build that wall. And so it said that he felt like he was racially attacked and that these people jumped on him. And what we all saw in the news was this 30-second clip. This 30-second clip is what we saw of Nathan Phillips walking up to a certain student and beating a drum pretty close to his face, right? And we see this teenager sitting there with his Make America Great Again hat, and he's got a kind of a smile or a smirk, is somehow people kind of described it, on his face, and he's standing there, and he's just kind of watching. And we see that 30-second clip, and we see his friends in the back kind of giggling and everything else. And so what was kind of, you know, communicated to everybody through the news outlets is that, you know, number one, you know, these kids were mocking this Indian, you know, Vietnam veteran that we have, and they were, you know, chanting, build that wall. And by the way, they had Make America Great Again hats on, so that just means this is all Donald Trump's fault, because, you know, that's his thing, and the build the wall, that's all his thing. And they interviewed this, you know, this veteran, Nathan Phillips, and talked to him, and he said, you know, I was just trying to sing my song, and I was just trying to be peaceful. And, you know, they drew it all back that it was Donald Trump's fault, and that these kids, they're terrible kids, they should be held accountable. And we saw just a huge line of people get on Twitter and social media and began to just berate these kids. And people like John Cusack, Rosie O'Donnell, even Captain America himself, Chris Evans, got online and all chimed in, disgracing Park Hill School and the teenager who was in the video, Nick Sandman was his name. And then what happened? 3 days later, a new clip emerges suddenly, correct? And in this new clip, it's not 30 seconds, it's 3 hours long. We have a 3-hour clip of what actually transpired. And then a completely different story was suddenly conveyed over the situation. All of a sudden, what we see in the situation is that what actually happened is these students from this Catholic high school from Kentucky were there for the March of Life. And they were actually waiting for their school bus until a group known as the Black Hebrew Israelites approached them. And as they were waiting for their school bus, this group called the Black Hebrew Israelites came up to them and began to just really trash these students, say things that I wouldn't even say. I wouldn't even repeat these things. They also began to mock the Indian group that was there and began to berate them and say different things. And we see these groups, these students over here and this group called the Black Hebrew Israelites over here, and the school kids, they tried to drown out them by doing their school chant and different things like that. And then what we see in the clip is that then here approaches Nathan Phillips between the two groups. And Nathan Phillips begins to sing his spiritual song that they have. And they interviewed him a little bit later and they said, what was that song? And he said, well, it's a peace song that we sing in our tribe. And I was hoping to bring the flames down, to bring the temperature down, to calm everybody down with my song of peace. And that's what I was trying to do. And all of a sudden we see Nathan Phillips walk between the groups. He walks up to Nick Sandman, that student that we see in the video wearing his Make America Great Again hat. And he begins to beat his drum like a foot away from his face. And so a completely different story was suddenly told, and Nick Sandman kind of just stands there and, awkwardly, smiles, which I don't know the last time somebody beat a drum in your face, but I mean, if somebody, that right there, that awkward interchange right there just made me kind of awkwardly smile, because, I mean, what else do you do in the middle of something awkward like that? And so here's what I believe suddenly happened, because all of a sudden the tables were turned, right? All of a sudden, everybody began to change the story, and it turns out that there was a completely different story all along. This is kind of what I take away from this. The first thing is this. Things were not as they appeared, right? Things were not actually as they appeared. Nick Sandman and the Covington students did not surround this man. Nathan Phillips could have gone many different directions. He wasn't surrounded. He wasn't trapped in any way, shape, or form. In the three-hour clip, no one ever shouts, build that wall. Not once does anybody ever chant, build that wall. And by the way, Nathan Phillips, not a Vietnam veteran. I don't know where that came from or what occurred there, but Nathan Phillips is not even actually a Vietnam veteran. The story that was reported incorrectly. The facts that they thought were there were not actually present, and an agenda-fueled version of the truth is what was told. A second thing that happened was this. People were quick to judge. I mean, people were really quick to judge. People looked at that 30-second clip between the interaction between Nathan Phillips and Nick Sandman, and they immediately jumped to conclusions, and they took the media at its word, and they saw students wearing red Make America Great Again hats, and they immediately assumed what happened, and they began to judge. And I think that's so, so very important. The people online, they did not just comment. They did not just react. I mean, they judged. They judged these high school students. They judged them based on their religion. It was mentioned so many times that this was a Catholic high school, and many articles came out about the Catholic Church and Catholicism soon after on CNN and many other different news outlets. They attacked the state that these kids were from, Kentucky, and began to talk about that. They had talked how these 17-year-olds, were students and what they did and how smug they were and how arrogant they were. And again, they threw it all back on Donald Trump, but people were so, so very quick to judge these kids who they had never met over a situation that they were never present for. And then the end result was this. The result was this. Lives were put at risk. Because of how this story was reported, because of what was told, what ended up happening is lives were at risk. Nick Sandman, the student, has been interviewed many, many different times now. And he's already reported to police and to other outlets that he's already had death threats put on him and his family. His family have been physically threatened in their professional and physical in their professional fields and physically as well. And now there's lawyers involved and people are being sued. People's jobs are now at risk. The high school that these students attend has been shut down this entire week. They have not met as a school because every single day there have been mobs of people outside the school protesting and yelling and shouting and threatening. And the school has felt like the students' lives have actually been threatened and might be at risk. And so they've decided not even to have school this entire week. But now we've got a big, big mess, and people are wanting apologies, and people are suing each other, and there's countersuits, and all types of things going on. Because a video was taken out of context, incorrect information was shared way too quickly, and people made judgments even quicker. Now, here's what I think happened and what is happening today. What we're seeing happen in each of these situations as they occur is this. There is always a side to side with. There's always a side that you can be on. There's always a side that you can choose. There's sides in politics. There are sides in religion. There are sides between family members. There are sides between friends. There are sides on just about every option, belief, or philosophy that you can find. There is always going to be a yin to a yang. There is always a side to side with. And because of that, we subconsciously, no matter what side we choose, we want our side to win. We want our side to win. I mean, think about it for a minute. Whatever side you're on, you want that side to win. You want that side to be right. You want that side to be law. You want that side to be protected. You want that side to be in power. You want that side to be supported. You want that side to be the thing that's taught in our schools. Whatever side you decide to side with, you subconsciously, you want that side to win. And because of that, we defend our side. We don't even recognize it sometimes. But we want our side to win so badly that we will defend that side. And anytime that side becomes threatened, any side that side may not be in power, or that side may not be funded or supported, we defend our side. We want them to win. And we want to defend that side. And there's an interesting TED Talk that I found this week by Julia Galef. She's a writer on human rationality. And she calls this the soldier's mindset. The soldier's mindset. She said that every single one of us have a side that we side with. And that's our army. That's our army that we have chosen to affiliate with, our army that we have chosen to be with. And in the soldier's mindset, a soldier is very high on emotion. And anytime that their side is threatened, they react, they defend. Everybody in the soldier's mindset, their actions stemmed from deeply ingrained reflexes, reflexes rooted in the need to protect their side from the enemy. And when that soldier is threatened, the soldier decides to fight back. And this is how a lot of us, we subconsciously live, is that there is a side that we have chosen to side with, or there is a side that was ingrained into us when we were very young because it's the side that our family was on, or it's the side that we were taught, or it was the side that our friends were on, and there's a side to side with, and we have chosen an army to affiliate ourselves with, and subconsciously, we want our side to win, and we will defend our side if we need to. I mean, think about it for a minute. Think about what army you've chosen to affiliate with. I mean, even as Christians, we have a song to celebrate it, right? I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never shoot at the enemy, but... Wow, you're really excited about that army. But that's a song we grew up with, right? I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. But we all have an army that we can think of in our mind that we've chosen to affiliate with. I mean, some of you, you've chosen to affiliate with the army of the Republicans or the Democrats. Some of us are in the army of pro-life, and some of us are in the army of pro-choice. Some of us are in the army for gun laws, and some of us are in the army for no gun control. Some of us are in the army of mom, and some of us are in the army of dad. Next week, as we watch the Super Bowl, some of you will be in the army of the Los Angeles Rams, and some of you will be in the army of nachos. Everybody has a side that they choose to side with. And we want that side to win. And we defend that side. We go to bat for that side. We will debate with people. We will argue with people. We will defend our side. Now, as we think about that, and as we think about the different armies that we affiliate with, Julia Galef, who brought up this idea of the soldier's mindset, she said there's actually an alternative. And she said, I think that this is the better alternative. This is the mindset that we should all adopt, because the soldier's mindset, all that ends up happening is people get hurt. No side actually wins in the end. And she talked about an alternative, and she talked about a scout's mindset. She said, what we should do is we should leave our mindset of soldier, and we should begin to adopt the scout mindset. She said, every army has a scout, and their mission is simple. Their mission is to investigate. They're out to find new information. They're out to figure out new things, and they're curious. They're curious. They're totally open to new ideas. They're good question askers. These are the people who say, tell me as much as you possibly can because I am trying to find out as much as I possibly can. And they take pleasure in new information. When they receive new information, they're not threatened. They don't have an agenda. They don't have anything that they're supposed to defend. They say, tell me more because this is exactly what I'm after. And they're intrigued by new information. They're trying to take in as much as they can. A scout's self-worth isn't tied to how right or how wrong they are about a particular issue. A scout tests their beliefs against everything that they discover. Now, I want you to think about these two. A soldier's mindset and a scout's mindset. Which one do you think you are? Honestly, truly, be honest with yourself. Which one do you think you are? Are you more of a scout mindset, or are you that of a soldier's mindset with a side to defend, with a side that you want to win? Now, you've answered that in your own head. Hopefully, you've answered honestly. Now, I want you to think about this. Which of these two, between these two, the scout and the soldier, which one do you think gets frustrated the least? In your mind, between a soldier's mindset and a scout's mindset, which one do you think thinks ends up having to put their foot in their mouth the least? Or retract information? Or say, I'm sorry? Or come back and say, actually, that's not the way that it actually happened? Which one doesn't push people away? Which one actually pulls people closer? Which one gets you through Christmas with your family? Christians, think for a minute. Between a soldier's mindset and a scout's mindset, which one do you think is better able to fulfill the command above all commands, to love God and to love your neighbor? Which one helps you in your ability to influence and lead people? You kind of see where I'm leading you to right now? Okay, let's say it all together. This is what we're all getting down to. Go ahead and go to this next slide, Evan. I need to what? I need to adopt a soldier's mindset. That's where I should be. I need to be a scout. Let's say this all together. Ready? I need to be a scout. A scout's mindset is what we need to have. We do not need to be worried about sides and defending sides or wanting our side to win. We need to be, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, more than ever, we need to adopt the mindset of a scout. We need to be scouts. We need to be people who are open to information. Now, here's the thing, though. I want to warn you. If you do this, if you decide, okay, you're right. You know what? You've intrigued me. I'm not going to be a soldier anymore. I'm going to choose to be a scout, and I'm going to be open to new information, and I'm going to be curious, and I'm going to investigate, and I'm going to ask questions, and I'm going to be slow to speak and quick to listen. That's what I'm going to do from here on out. Here's the thing. It's great. I'm glad you chose to do that. I just want to give you a little bit of warning of what's going to happen to you. And this is the thing. You may discover that your side is wrong. You may decide that the side that you have sided with may be a little wrong. It might be partially wrong. It might be really, really wrong. And you might even kick yourself in the butt and you might say, oh my goodness, I can't believe I supported that. I can't believe I voted for that. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I defended that. You may find out over time, if you adopt a scout's mindset, you might discover over time that you could have done things differently in raising your children. You might go, oh my goodness, we screwed the first two up so bad, we need to have a third one so we can have a do-over. You might figure out that your parents screwed you up. Then you thought, oh my goodness, I've been doing this because this is what my parents did. And you might get to call your mother up on Mother's Day and go, you did so many things wrong. I have figured it out. You shouldn't have been doing this. You might discover that you should have voted differently. You might discover that you shouldn't have given your money to something that you gave your money to. You might change your philosophy on business. You might spend your money differently. You might lead differently. You might change your business. You might change how you parent. You might change your marriage. There's all types of things that this could impact. And I'm just going to warn you right now. You may discover that you did some things wrong. And you might even feel a little guilty. And you might be going back on things you supported for a long, long time because you might actually discover that your information was wrong. You may discover that there's actually a better way of doing things. And here's the biggest thing. Now, this is really going to scare you, okay? Now, hold on tight. This is really going to pull you back. And this is going to be a, all the breath out of the room is going to come out right now, okay? This is the other thing I want to warn you. And then 10 years later, when new information comes out, you might go back to where you originally were. That's what happens, though. But that's okay. That is okay. That's totally fine because here's the thing. You're not a soldier. You're a scout. You are after the truth. You're trying to figure out what it is you're supposed to do. And there's a little rhyme I came up with to help you to remember this, okay? A scout does not have a side to defend. A scout does not have an argument to win. A scout is just after the truth in the end. Now, it took me 3 hours to remember to get this down. So, you know, a lot of time looking at my lava lamp to get this Dr. Seuss down. So I'm going to read it to you one more time. A scout does not have a side to defend. A scout does not have an argument to win. A scout is just after the truth in the end. This is who we should be. Now, some of you who aren't Christians, you might be onto this and you might go, you know what? That's pretty good. I like that. Maybe there's some truth to that. And I want to encourage you, you know, try this out. You got plenty of time. Try this for 30 days, okay? Try this for 30 days. Try to switch from a soldier to a scout for 30 days. Try to adopt a scout's mindset for 30 days. And I guarantee you, you will live a happier, more peaceful life or your money back guaranteed. But if you are a Christian, this is not optional. This is a must. This is who we must be as Christians. And I'm not saying that because I think it. I'm not saying it because I made it up. I'm saying this because this is something the Apostle Paul encouraged Christians to be and what he encouraged them to do in the very first century of the church after Jesus died. And there's actually a letter that he wrote to Thessalonica. Thessalonica was the biggest city in Macedonia. And it was a huge city. It was full of about 250,000 people. And in Thessalonica, that was one of the first churches that Paul planted. And Paul started this church and he loved this church. He took a lot of pleasure in this church. And so he actually wrote two letters back to Thessalonica to be able to encourage them. They're very, very short. They're found in your New Testament. And what was going on, you need to understand the context to be able to really grip this. And Thessalonica, they were a really hip town. Full of Gentiles. Remember that Jesus was a Jew, but something that Jesus did is he made the gospel inclusive for everybody. This wasn't a Jewish thing anymore. This was a everybody thing. And so a big change that happened is that the Gentiles were able to have a relationship with God. And they threw out the Jewish traditions. They said the old, it's become obsolete and we are adopting the new. And so the Jewish law, the Jewish traditions, we're not going to be concerned with those anymore. This is all about the new and this is about the new covenant. So everybody needs to kind of wrap their mind around not what the old law it was, but the new covenant is to love God and to love your neighbor. And what happened is this church in Thessalonica, man, they were hip. They had a lot of young people. And these young people, they were on fire for Jesus. And so they were a very expressive church. They were really rocking and rolling, and they had a really good thing going. And so what ended up happening is these young people, these young Gentiles, began to have ideas about what they should do, because this was a whole new way of doing church, and the whole thing, the whole relationship with God and what religion was, it completely changed. And so they began to have all these ideas and they thought, I think what God wants us to do is this. But all of their ideas were really out there. I mean, there were big changes for the church, and there was still a very strong Jewish sect in Thessalonica in there, and they really pushed back against it. Like, hey, hold on, young people, all right? I'm not ready for fog machines yet. I mean, come on, let's keep a couple hymns in there. I mean, come on, let's not change everything. Let's not go gangbusters yet. I don't know about all this. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around this whole, you know, love God and love your neighbor thing. Just hold the phone. And so they were really, really resistant. And so they shared this with Paul. They told Paul, these young people, man, this Generation Z, these millennials, they have got some ideas, and I'm not so sure about this. I think we need you to come in here and step in. So Paul said, you know what? I will. I'll address it in my letter. So he sat down and he wrote him a letter. And at the end of the letter, in the very last chapter, he says, you know what? And I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about those young people who've got a lot of crazy ideas for you guys, and I'm going to address this. And this is what he said. Do not stifle the Spirit. This is the first thing he said. He said, do not stifle the Spirit. In other words, do not discourage them. Okay, don't discourage them. This generation, they are listening for God's voice. And yeah, they are rethinking methods, and they are rethinking philosophies, and they are rethinking beliefs, and they're coming up with new ideas and ways that they think we could better love God and love our neighbor, ways that we could be more inclusive, more welcoming, more inviting, things that match up with what they believe Jesus would want us to do. And I know that their ideas are a little out there, and I know it's a little crazy, but here's the thing I want you to understand. This is the first thing I need you to grab your hold of. Do not discourage them. Do not discourage them. Encourage them to listen to the voice of God inside of them. Now, let me tell you something, how this relates to us today, and it's perfect timing. Because I found out, I had to go look up on the internet, what's all the generations now? Because I can't keep up. Because we talk about millennials, okay? So I'm a millennial, I found out. I'm going to get it tattooed on my back. I'm a millennial. And then I found out, I had to look, I said, what is the new generation? It's Generation Z is what they're called. So Generation Z is everybody 23 and younger. So if you're 23 in the room, if you're 23 or younger, you are Generation Z. If you're older to a certain age, you're millennial. Basically, if Facebook came out when you were in college, you're with me. You're a millennial, okay? If you got Facebook after your kid did, you're something else, okay? So that's just think about that as your markers right now. So we talk a lot about Generation Z and millennials, but Generation Z specifically is really the generation right now. It's just incredible. They are second-guessing everything, aren't they? I mean, everything from the lyrics to baby, it's cold outside, to global warming. I mean, they're on it all. It's constant, and it's so easy. But there's all these constant debates and arguments about all these different things. And I understand, a lot of us, we roll our eyes. We go, oh my goodness, seriously? We're second-guessing the lyrics of baby, it's cold outside? Do we really need to talk about this? Is this what we need to argue about now? Okay, well, I can believe this and agree with you. I'll join you in this argument, okay? But we immediately look at these things, and a lot of us, we roll our eyes. Some of us, we get angry. Some of us, we just scoff at it, and we just throw it away. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. And listen, you got to keep a really open mind right now, okay? Don't shut me off yet, all right? Stay with me. Stay with me. Are you with me? Stay with me. Here's the thing. I just want you to think about this. Remember, you just said, I'm going to be a scout. I'm not going to be a soldier. So stay with me. You are open-minded. You are curious. You're an investigator. Here's the thing I want you to think about. Could there be a chance? Could there be a possibility that God is speaking to a generation about topics and agendas and philosophies and beliefs that we should have addressed a long time ago? Do you think that there is a possibility that this new generation that questions everything and demands change very quickly, that there is a possibility, there is a chance that it is that in some parts of it, that there is the Spirit speaking to them inside of them and telling them that this isn't something that we need to address. This is something that we need to do something about. This is something that has gone on for long enough, and it impacts people, and it impacts our ability to love people, and we could do it better. And so we need to adjust it. Do you think for just a second, just for a possibility, that God is speaking to a generation about things that we've never wanted to address because it would cause a mess? That there is a possibility that we have needed to talk about issues of gender and sexuality and treatment of women for a long, long, long time. And that there's a possibility that we shouldn't stifle this generation, that we shouldn't discourage them, but instead that we should have a scout's mindset, and that we should meet them where they are, and that we should have a conversation, not a debate. That we should not discourage them, that we should encourage them to continue to have conversations that, quite honestly, some of us have wanted to have for a long time. We've known we've needed to have for a long time, but we've just chosen not to do it. Paul says what we should do is we should have a scout's mindset, and we should not discourage them. We should encourage them, and that it's okay. And then he says this, and he says, here's what I want you to do next. He says, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. He says, yeah, this young generation in your church in Thessalonica, they got some crazy ideas and they got some crazy thoughts and they say God's talking to them. Well, here's the thing. Don't discourage them, and here's what you need to do. You need to test them all out. And do not treat them with contempt. Do not roll your eyes at them. Do not mock them. Do not say those millennials, those Generation Z, those crazy young whippersnappers. What you need to do is you need to test them all and be a scout and say, you know what? Tell me more. Let's have a conversation about this. Let's investigate. I'm curious. Tell me what you think is wrong with this. Tell me what you think is better. Tell me your idea of what an alternative to be can be, because I'm willing to listen. And we are going to test them all out. And then Paul says this. Paul says, then what I want you to do is I want you to hold on to what is good, and I want you to reject every kind of evil. So Paul says, here's what you need to do in these situations. This church in Thessalonica, man, they got some crazy ideas. They say it's God talking to them. Well, let's do this. Let's not discourage them. Let's not treat their ideas with contempt and, just blow them off. Let's test them. And then we will hold on to what is good, and then we'll reject what is evil. Now, let me tell you what I do, okay? Let me tell you what I do. I'll give you a little real practical thing here. So I read books. I know it might amaze you. Sometimes I read books. I like controversial books. I like books with new ideas. And so I'll read a book, and then sometimes I'll run into something in the book that I don't agree with, something that is not what I was brought up with, something that I don't really think is right. And so what I'll do is I'll close the book, and I'll light it on fire in my office so that nobody can read it. So it's gone. And then I move on with my life, and I go, well, that's a bunch of balonies. What'd I do? No, that's not what I do. Are you kidding me? You know what I do? Is when I read something that's a bit controversial, if it's something that I don't believe or it's something counter to what I've ever thought, what I usually do is I close the book, I pray about it, I talk to my friends about it, I talk to my parents about it, I talk to my wife about it, I look and I research, I usually go online because there's usually somebody who's probably blogging about it or writing the exact opposite about it. And then do you know what I do? And then usually what I do is I pick the book back up and I continue to read, because until I finish the end of the book, I probably don't know the whole story. Now here's the thing that many of us do. Many of us, we close the book immediately. We shut down the conversation. We immediately look and go, nope, not going to do it. That's not true. Millennial, Generation Z, Democrat, Republican, that's a bunch of baloney. Nope, not going to do it. And we walk off. We shut the book. We say, case closed. No, listen to me. That's not where we get. We can't get anywhere that way. We have got to have a scout's mindset. We have got to be open to conversations. We've got to be curious. We've got to be investigators. And we've got to remember that we do not have a side to side with. We do not have a side to defend. There is nothing that we are looking to win. We are curious. And so with every idea, with every generation, with every argument, we do not stifle the spirit. This could be something we have needed to hear from a long time that is not actually coming from a person. It is coming from God. And we should not treat prophecies with contempt, but we should test every single one of them. We should pray about them. We should have conversations about them. We should have small groups about them. We should test them against what we know in the Word of God, about what Jesus said, about what the apostles who were close to him agreed to. And then we should hold on to what is good. And then we can reject every kind of evil. Have you ever heard the phrase, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater? Hopefully none of you have ever done that before, but you always save the baby and throw out the bathwater, the dirty bathwater. That's what you want to do, but you don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Here's a better way to remember it, okay? I want you to remember it this way. Don't discard what has potential with what is non-essential. Do not discard what has potential with what is non-essential. Here's what I want you to think about for just a second. It's going to be hard. This is going to be so hard for some of you. Is that when these conversations come up, when this information comes out, when you read something or you hear something that you disagree with, that is so counter to what you believe, with how you live, with what you do, with what you taught your kids, with what was taught to you from your parents, when you hear something that is so counter to how you believe, I don't want you to be a soldier. I don't want you to immediately become defensive. I want you to think for a second that you do not have a side to defend. You don't have a side that you want to win. For a moment, I want you to become a scout. And I want you to be curious. And I don't want you to shut anybody down. I don't want you to stifle anybody's thought or heart or spirit that they're listening to. Instead, I want you to encourage them and I want you to engage. Not fight, not debate, but engage. And ask smart questions. And test it out. And think for a moment, okay, maybe this isn't the right answer, but what good can we take away from this? Maybe there's some truth here. Maybe there's a partial rightness. Maybe there's something I can take away from this. And then I want you to hold on to what is good. And then, I want you, and you got to grab hold of this the right way. Then Paul says, then you can reject every kind of evil. But I want you to understand something. Then Paul doesn't say, and then shut them down and tell them how wrong they are. Destroy them. Just tear them down and just blast them with how wrong they are. No. It doesn't say, and then reject the person. We don't reject people. We don't tear down people. We reject every kind of evil. That says, you know what? That's fine. You want to believe that? It's okay to disagree. It's okay. I'll agree with you on this. I believe that that's true. You know what? As Christians, we believe that too. You know, I think that that matches really well with what Jesus said of how we can love our enemy, how we can love our neighbor, how we can love people and be graceful and merciful. I will agree with you on it. Now, I don't agree on this. I reject that, but that's okay. We do not need to engage as soldiers. Because here's the thing. I know we grew up hearing that song, Christians. You know, I'm in the Lord's army, but here's the truth. We're not in an army anymore. That was Old Covenant. There are no armies. We're not in the Lord's army anymore. That was Old Testament. We're not in the Lord's army anymore. Here's the thing. We're on a mission. And we're not in an army and we're not soldiers. We're kingdom builders now. And what we are is we're connectors and we're peacemakers and we're givers of hope and love and mercy. We are not fighting anybody anymore. We don't have an enemy. Okay, our enemy has already been defeated when Jesus rose from the grave. Our enemy has already been done. He can't win anything anymore. Jesus has already won. We have nothing to defend, and we have nothing to win because the winning's already been done, okay? Jesus has already claimed victory over everything. So we don't need to attack anybody, and we don't need to hurt anybody, and we have no army to be with. We're on a peacekeeping mission now. We're on a mission of love. We're on a mission of hope. But let me tell you something, church. The only way we can continue on that mission, the only way we can be successful on that mission is to be a scout and not a soldier. And it's our job, if we're going to change anything in this world, to be peacemakers, to be scouts, to be curious, to be investigators. And there are things that we can take away. God speaking to all generations, all people. You know, the word talks about that, how we are to not look at anybody of any age or any background of any culture and think any less of them. God speaks to all people and through all people. And sometimes, here's the thing, he even uses people who aren't even Christian to speak to us. God can use anybody. And so if we're ever going to change the direction of the church, which I'm just telling you, as a pastor, man, I look to the future and I don't know what's going to hold because Generation Z and millennials, they are leaving the church in droves. It is a scary place. I am looking for career B. I mean, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to have to be a Walmart greeter, if that's still a thing, because who knows what my career and what I'm going to be able to do is going to look like in the future because things are changing so rapidly and so fast. But let me tell you something. The only way we are ever going to invite those people back The only way we're ever going to make the church attractive again, it's not by scolding them. It's not by stifling them. It's by being in a scout. It's by investigating and being curious and loving them. It's the only way we will ever change our current predicament. And that's my prayer for us. My prayer is that when people come into contact with people from Anchored Hope Church, when people say, I belong to Anchored Hope Church, I hope that what that would be a badge of honor, that you would know that that person, if they're from Anchored Hope Church, they are not a soldier in an army with a side to defend or any kind of agenda they're trying to win. They are simply after the truth. And that they are people who are willing to have a conversation with you. They are curious. They will read the book to the very end. And they are the people who are mature enough to be able to take what is good and reject whatever kind of evil there is. But they don't reject people. They just reject ideas. They reject beliefs that don't belong with our relationship with Jesus. But they are always people to have a conversation with you. That is my hope for our church. That is who I am trying to be myself. And it is hard, and it is challenging, and it is frustrating at times. It requires duct tape over my mouth and tying my hands before I touch my keyboard sometimes. But I am telling you, I believe with all my heart, it is who Jesus wants us to be. Let me pray for you this morning. God, this morning we come to you, and God, I thank you so much for your words given to us through Paul. God, I pray that every single one of us this morning that we would recognize where we are. That God, this morning we would have an honest conversation with ourselves about what our mindset is. God, would you tell us this morning, would you just help us to admit if we are a soldier? If we're a soldier, or if what's going on right now is if we're truly being a scout, because God, I think every single one of us do agree, I need to be a scout. I've been a soldier, and I have argued, and I have debated, and quite honestly, the sin that I am guilty of is there have been times where I have not loved my neighbor. I have fought with my neighbor, and I have debated with my neighbor. Sometimes, God, I have defended a side that did not need defending, and I have subconsciously wanted to win an argument to prove that I'm right, to be able to say that my parents were right, that my parenting style was right, that how I've lived my life is correct. But God, this morning, would you please help us to address this issue, and will you inside of us transform us into having that scout mindset? Would you this morning transform our hearts and our minds, and would you, in the middle of those conversations, in the middle of that information, would you help us to be curious? Would you help us to be investigators? Will you help us to, as Paul said, not stifle anybody's voice or thoughts or spirit, but would you help us to be encouragers? And will you help us to be able to genuinely test every prophecy, every idea, every theory that comes out, God? Would you help us to take an honest, truthful look at it and be able to test it? And then, God, would you encourage us to be able to hold on to what is good? And God, sometimes that'll mean having the courage to admit that we were wrong. Some of us, we're going to find out that actually we did things the wrong way, that the reason that we ended up in the season of life we were is because we made bad decisions. But God, that's okay, because we're not here on this earth to be perfect. We're learners. Help us to adopt that mindset. We are learners, and we are willing to take in new information. And then, God, will you give us the ability to reject what is evil, but not reject people. God, let us never hate people, reject people, or hurt people. It's okay to reject ideas, but it's never okay to reject people. So, God, will you encourage us to do that today? Because that's the church we want to be. That's the church that can build the kingdom. That is the church who can truly live out the mission to love God and love our neighbor. And so, God, will you help us to do that today? We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast today. We hope that you can make it to one of our Sunday morning experiences at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Don't forget to check out our website, www.anchoredhope.church. You can also give online very easily and conveniently. We'd love to have your support on our mission to lead people to a growing relationship with Jesus.